Good morning, and welcome to Greater Good. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, from the Sun Sounds of Arizona Studios. The Greater Good Science Center studies the psychology, sociology, and neuroscience of well-being, and teaches skills that foster a thriving, resilient, and compassionate society. And now, some articles from Greater Good. 5 tips for nurturing your children's values. As caregivers, we play an important role in our children's process of exploring and internalizing the values they will ultimately adopt in life. By Eugene C. Rolick-Partain, October 21st, 2025. When my 2 sons, now young adults, were in elementary schools, on some days my wife and I were sure they were lying with completely straight faces when we interrogated them about the status of homework or chores or the shattered heirloom they were told never to touch. Then, before we could regroup, they were telling us about a new kid they befriended in school or any of a dozen other unexpected angelic deeds we assumed they would always be too self-centered to do. Yes, I'm exaggerating. Our boys weren't that extreme or unusual, though it sometimes felt like it to anxious parents. Like many children in middle childhood, roughly ages 6 to 12, our boys were just doing the messy work of internalizing the values that were important to them. That process often involves some winding detours that give parents and caregivers pits in the stomach, or worse. At root, our fears were about the development of our children's values and thus their spiritual development. Last month, I published an article on Greater Good that described spirituality broadly to include contentedness to one's best self, to humanity, and to a higher power or a non-material world, all of which bring to life a sense of meaning, wonder, peace, and purpose. Though typically discussed as part of moral development, values are also integral to spiritual development in that they describe the nature of our connectedness to ourselves, each other, the world around us, and the sacred or divine. Values are interwoven with spiritual development as well as its expression by many people in their religious commitments. Researchers have found evidence of innate spirituality in infants. They also see some signs of pro-social values in infancy. At this early stage, the values mirror the mother's warmth. A child's distinct moral identity can begin to be evident around the ages of 5 or 6. However, moral identity and values are relatively unstable or fluid until self-regulation and perspective-taking capacities emerge in later middle childhood. Hence, the flip-flop emotions my wife and I experienced with our sons. Over time, children's views of themselves begin to solidify as they internalize values in the context of their friends, family, and other influences, while they are also developing their executive function, which is thinking, and emotional control capabilities. Amid all of these influences and factors, their values become more abstract, consistent, stable, and connected to behaviors, according to Israeli scholars Ariel Kanafo Noam and his colleagues. Complicating matters, values develop in systems or hierarchies, with some groups of values much more important to one person than they are to another. For example, some people emphasize that what Shalom H. Schwartz of the Hebrew University of Jerusalem called self-transcendent values that focus on the interests of others, while others emphasize self-enhancement values that emphasize values such as achievement and power. Even among these dynamics, parents and families play central roles in how children sort out and internalize the values they ultimately adopt, even though they are never guarantees in parenting. Here are five tips for parents and caregivers to shape or influence children's values. Number one, put your relationships first. As with most aspects of parenting, the quality of the parent-child relationships is the basis to a caregiver's influence on a child's values development. When these relationships are supportive, they provide fertile soil in which roots of moral development can grow. It was encouraging then when a 2021 Search Institute survey of more than 700 U.S. parents found that showing my children that I love them and enjoy being with them was their top priority. Parent-child relationships could be the focus of the rest of this article, and indirectly it is. In addition, other Greater Good Parenting articles highlight many ways to deepen parent-child relationships, focusing on different elements of relationships, the power of little moments together, how to talk to your children so they feel loved, the importance of all parenting adults, not just moms, and many others that are linked to these articles. Number two, walk your talk. The next priority caregivers highlighted in the Search Institute's 2021 survey was modeling what it means to be a good person. Once again, parents seem to know what matters when nurturing values. Parents act as a moral role model for their children, influencing not only how children internalize moral values, but also how they navigate moral decisions over time, write German scholars Jessica Wilkie and Annika Rademacher. By consistently demonstrating empathy, fairness, and moral reasoning, parents ensure that these values remain central even as external influences such as peers and societal norms become more prominent in later developmental stages. Having children watching us to learn from us can be a humbling experience. Why do I get in trouble for saying those bad words when you say them sometimes? Why did you tell Mr. Jones you thought his new car was a great deal when you told me that you thought it was a waste of money? Children can be reminders that we can do better, a better job of walking our talk. Number three, talk your walk. A Mark Twain quote from 1897 is often paraphrased as follows. If a cat sits on a hot stove, that cat won't sit on a hot stove again. That cat won't sit on a cold stove either. That cat just won't like stoves. The point? Our children may not be learning what we hope they're learning from us if we don't talk with them about it. Why do we make the choices we make? Was it hard? Are we glad that we did it? When we make a mistake, do we apologize and seek to correct it? This could be hard. It could sound like bragging. What's important is to tell our stories and other stories from our families, not to turn ourselves or anyone else into a flawless hero or saint. It also opens a space for our children to tell us their stories, both when things go well and when they don't, which could also help them internalize their own experiences and what really matters to them. 4, learn together and from each other. One of the blind spots in much of the past scientific research on values and moral development is that it focused almost exclusively on how parents transmit values to children. In reality, and as newer research is showing, it is more accurate to think about exchanging values, or perhaps a give and take in shaping values. To be sure, parents and caregivers come to the relationship with greater responsibility, experience, and learned skills and behaviors, all of which give them greater influence on their children. At the same time, children bring their own personalities, tendencies, and spirit to the relationship, and they also influence, even change, the values of their parents. Different things become more important because they are important to our children. Virtually every parent could think of multiple examples almost immediately. Just think about how your schedule changed when children became part of your family. Or what about when a child became interested in a sport, musical instrument, or a social justice cause? Then think about the parents who changed their lives to support and advocate for a child who has special needs, faces a chronic illness, or faces a social ostracism due to their gender identity. In small and large ways, children change our values too. An important gift that we give to our children is opportunities to articulate what's important to them and, when we want to encourage those values, ways to put those values into practice. Even more powerful is to learn from them and walk with them as they internalize values that clearly reflect and express who they are. 5, be realistic. Each of us believes things are valuable or virtuous that we simply don't do or do as we'd like to do. On the other hand, we know some things are bad, harmful, or even evil, yet we still find ourselves doing them. We know it's important to lose weight, stop smoking, read more, or do less doom scrolling. Yet we keep doing or not doing these very things. Some might be trivial, others are serious, even deadly. This belief-action gap isn't new. Greek philosophers Socrates and Aristotle struggled with it. In the early days of Christianity, the Apostle Paul lamented in his tongue twister, For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Romans 7:19. Children are less subtle as they get older. You're a hypocrite, or they're all just hypocrites. Theologians and scholars used to blame this belief behavior gap on a person's weakness of will, a moral failing, or a lapse of character. We now know that actions aren't based only on cognitive reasoning and beliefs. They are strongly shaped by feelings, instinctual reactions, habits, racing thoughts, the environment around us, and many other factors. In addition, the gap between values and actions can be the result of a disease or disorder, as is the case with addictions, though they are still widely viewed as character flaws. Personal willpower doesn't generate a wellspring of life-giving values. Memorizing lists of virtues won't provide the wisdom needed when faced with the pressure-filled or perplexing choices. Instead, living out values grows from a deep well of relationships, experiences, commitments, and influences that accumulate over time. These values are lived, modeled, talked about, practiced, and expected all around us, becoming part of who we are, our character. At some point, we don't even have to think about them to act on them. They become intuitive, like riding a bicycle or swimming. And that, in the end, is our hope for our children. At the same time, we know that internalizing and living out values isn't as simple as learning to ride a bike. It's even harder when competing values drive contentious choices, as often happens in this complex, changing world. Thus, our fervent hope as parents and caregivers is that children will, over time, discover the wisdom in discerning their way centered in their connectedness, a connectedness to their core identities, to others in supportive families and communities, to the world around them, and to a sacred power or spirit whom they may know as God. Together, these bring our deepest values into focus with clarity, meaning, and purpose. About the author, Eugene C. Roken Partain, PhD, is senior scholar at Search Institute, where he leads initiatives on families and spiritual thriving, among other responsibilities. He has two young adult sons who live nearby in the Minneapolis, Minnesota area. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona, bringing you Greater Good Magazine. How chatbots could be influencing your morality. As more and more people seek advice from chatbots, these technologies may start to influence human behavior and societal norms. By Kara Monke, October 24th, 2025. More and more people are turning to ChatGPT or other AI chatbots for advice and emotional support, and it's easy to see why. Unlike a friend or therapist, a chatbot is always available, listens to everything you have to say, and provides responses that are often thoughtful and validating. But confiding in chatbots can be risky. Many of these technologies are designed primarily to drive engagement and may provide users with responses that are false or harmful. And unlike a friend or therapist, the output of a chatbot reflects the norms and biases of the algorithm's data set, which could differ from those of your social group or community. With many people seeking advice from chatbots, these unknown norms and biases could have a surprising impact on human behavior and society at large. Through their advice and feedback, these technologies are shaping how humans act, what they believe, and what norms they adhere to, said Patrick Sachdeva, a senior data scientist at UC Berkeley's D-Lab. But many of these tools are proprietary. We don't know how they were trained. We don't know how they are aligned. To start to reveal the hidden norms encoded in popular AI chatbots and how they might impact behavior, Sachdeva and Tom Van Nguyen, a senior data scientist and lecturer at the D-Lab, turned to the internet's favorite source of moral dilemmas, Reddit's Am I an Asshole or AITA Forum. In a recent study, which is published as a preprint, Sachdeva and Van Nguyen confronted each of seven different large language models, or LLMs, the AI systems that power chatbots, with more than 10,000 real-world social conflicts posted to the forum, asking them each to decide who was at fault in each situation and comparing their responses to those of Reddit users. They found that the seven chatbots often showed striking differences in how they judged the Reddit users' moral dilemmas, revealing that each LLM reflects different ethical standards. However, when they compared their judgments with those of Reddit users or Redditors, they found that the consensus opinion of the seven chatbots usually agreed with the consensus opinion of people on Reddit. When you have a dilemma, you might ask a series of different friends what they think, and each of them might give you a different opinion. In essence, this is what Reddit users are doing on the AITA forum, Sachdeva said. You could do the same thing with chatbots. First, you ask ChatGPT, then you ask Claude, then you ask Gemini. When we did that, we found that there was consistency between the majority of opinions of Redditors and the majority opinion of chatbots. On the AITA forum, Redditors share everyday interpersonal conflicts, ranging from broken promises to privacy violations, and other users discuss whether the original poster was morally at fault in the situation. Respondents share their reasoning along with standard phrases including, you are the asshole, not the asshole, no assholes here, everyone's the asshole, and more information needed. The response that receives the most upvotes is considered the final verdict. Am I the asshole is a useful antidote to the very structured moral dilemmas that we see in a lot of academic research, Van Nguyen said. The situations are messy, and it's that messiness that we wanted to confront large language models with. The standardized response phrases also make it easy to evaluate chatbots' moral judgments and compare them with each other with actual Reddit users, Van Nguyen said. As Sachdeva and Van Nguyen continue studying the inner workings of major AI models and advocating for more transparency in AI design and development, they hope their research also highlights the importance of being mindful how we all use the technology and the sneaky ways that it might be influencing us. We want people to be actively thinking about why they are using LLMs when they are using LLMs, and if they are losing the human element by relying too much on them, Sachdeva said. Thinking about how LLMs might be reshaping our behavior and beliefs is something only humans can do. You've been listening to Greater Good Magazine, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, thanking you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. And now stay tuned for more interesting programming coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona.